The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are back for college football. It's week one. We are previewing Indiana versus Ball State. That's coming up on Saturday at noon from Lucas Oil Stadium. Last weekend was week zero. There was some exciting games with Miami and Florida, as well as Hawaii and Arizona. We're going to welcome in TJ Inman in a second, but first, a word from our sponsors at MyBookie. Football is back. AB is in Oakland. Le'Veon is with the Jets. OBJ and Jarvis Landry have teamed up again in Cleveland. One thing hasn't changed, though, where I'm placing my bets this season. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. I would only recommend the service to my listeners that has been really good to me. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. All right, now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, it is finally here. We're done with previews. It's game week. How are you doing?
Yeah, fired up, ready to talk about IU's matchup against Ball State. It definitely kind of, it's still pretty humid, but we're sort of starting to feel like football weather. It's been a long off season. I know that everybody's ready for us to get to actual games.
Yeah, and the big news out of Bloomington today was Michael Penix has been officially named starting quarterback for the 2019 season. I think this is the news that everybody's been waiting for. It's an exciting time. You have the guy that everybody's been clamoring for has won the starting job. It was a close race, but – you know, as Tom Allen said earlier today, that Michael Penix could do some things that Peyton Ramsey just couldn't do. It was more of what Michael Penix could do than what Peyton Ramsey was incapable of doing. But with that, you know, I think it just adds fuel to the fire for the excitement this season. And I know I can't wait to see him play and see how he starts the year on Saturday. Although I do think that maybe, you know, he has to shake off some rust and maybe deal with a lot of butterflies first collegiate start, NFL stadium. I don't really know how the crowd is going to be, but I expect a decent crowd since it's downtown Indianapolis. So what are you watching from Michael Penix this week before we get into game preview?
Well, I think a couple of interesting things to keep in mind. As Penix wins the job, I think it speaks a lot to his talent that he's able to overtake Peyton Ramsey with limited game experience, coming off of an injury, unable to be a full participant in the spring, and still be able to overtake Peyton Ramsey in the eyes of the coaching staff. And I fully expect Peyton Ramsey to see the field at some point during this season and probably at some point during these first 2 weeks. But I do think it's absolutely the right move. Michael Penix is the highest ceiling quarterback right now for the Hoosiers, gives them, in my opinion, the best chance to reach six wins, which is the goal if you're the Indiana Hoosiers this season. So I think it's absolutely the right move. Now, what to expect this week? We'll get into Ball State here in just a second. As far as the specifics of that matchup, I would expect a kind of controlled approach from Kalen DeBoer in his first game as offensive coordinator for the Hoosiers. I would not expect to see Michael Penix airing it out 40 times against Ball State. I don't think that that should happen. I don't think it'll need to happen. What I do hope to see from Penix is take what the defense gives you. Don't force things. But I do want to see his ability to stretch the field vertically. That's, for me, the biggest difference between Michael Penix and Peyton Ramsey. Number one, the ability to stretch the field vertically. And number two, the ability to make throws where receivers can catch the ball in rhythm and in motion and head upfield, increasing that potential for explosive plays. So that's what I want to see. I want to see on slant patterns, Penix putting that ball in front of the receivers to where the receiver does not have to break stride. Guys like Wop Billier, Miles Marshall, David Ellis, even Cole Guest perhaps out of the backfield that are, you know, known for their speed, that they can use that, catching the ball in motion without having to break stride and burning the defense with that. So that's kind of what I want to see from him. Don't force things. Ideally, you don't have any turnovers from Penix. I think that would give him a huge boost of confidence. The second thing I'm looking for him is decision-making inside the red zone. Indiana hopefully gets in the red zone several times against Ball State, or at least into scoring territory several times against the Cardinals. And you want to see Michael Penix make those smart decisions, which can be difficult to do for a guy that does not have very much Division I game experience right now. So those are kind of the two things that stand out for me that I'm looking for from Penix here in week one, as he looks to build towards week three against Ohio State and the remaining Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, I want to see how he commands the offense, how he does in the red zone, things like that. I hope they'll need to air it out 40 times, but I also don't want them to sit on the ball. I expect a healthy amount of throws. You got to get him experience in one way or the other, and he's got to be able to throw the ball. If that means throwing the ball 30 times or 25 times, that's fine. And, I mean, the hope is that this team could get out to a big, big lead and a comfortable lead. And, you know, maybe you build that quarterback depth and bring in Jack Tuttle late in the game and run the offense through him. Not saying that they're going to use a two-quarterback system, but you have another guy who has no game experience, who sat out last year, who needs to get – he needs to get some experience, needs to get his feet wet, so to build that depth. And, you never know, you might need Jack Tuttle down the road. So I expect to see Jack Tuttle as well. And I don't think
he's already redshirted.
He's already redshirted.
So there's no benefit there.
Yeah, he's already redshirted. I could see him playing at least four games that way. And I think getting him reps in an NFL stadium against a Division I team is going to be big, because you just don't know if you're going to need him or not. And I think getting those reps is really, really important. It's what the great teams do, is that they race out to a lead. And while Penix does need the reps as well, he'll play the majority of the game. And then, hopefully you see Jack Tuttle come in and ice it. But let's get down to Ball State. TJ, they're coming off a 4-8 season. They went 3-5 in the MAC West last year. They kind of put a scare into Notre Dame early. They came to IU and IU just hammered them. And then they really got hammered by injuries again. But they really didn't really do much from there. They're projected for about four wins again this year. They do bring back some talent. Drew Plitt, who's replacing Riley Miller, who left to go to Vanderbilt, has some experience. He threw 131 passes last year for over 1,000 yards. Did throw more interceptions than touchdowns. You have a decent running back who, on only 66 attempts, got 300 yards. And then your receiving core is pretty good. Riley Miller comes back with 61 receptions and 878 yards. And you have some other guys there as well who could play. But it's, you know, it's a Ball State home game. They're always fired up to play Indiana. This is a game where they probably think they have a shot with a new quarterback, new offense, and some young pieces as well. But this is a game that IU should win pretty handily. And then on defense, that defensive line, I know you're going to talk about this, TJ. The defensive line is small. They run a 3-4 system. If this Indiana line is as polished as we think it is, they should be able to dominate up front and make it for a long day for Ball State and a happy day for IU fans.
The defensive line is a big issue for Ball State. It was last year. Figures to be again this year. There was not some, you know, huge infusion of size. You just don't get that at that level typically, and that's been the case for the Cardinals. They do bring back some guys that they had last year, but it's a unit that struggled last year, and they're not suddenly 300 pounds. You know, you're typically across that front, they're rotating in the majority of the guys coming in at 265, 270. It's a unit that averages well under 275 pounds. And for a 3-4 front, that's a problem. They don't really have a true nose tackle that clogs up the middle for them. They don't really have guys that are great pass rushers either. The linebackers, you mentioned the 3-4 defense. The linebackers are solid. They're a pretty good group. But Indiana's offensive line should be able to kind of be bullies in this matchup. And I would expect that the game plan is going to be a heavy dose of Stevie Scott. And then, honestly, I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Scott mixed in with the added running back depth the Hoosiers have. I think you're going to see Samson James quite a bit as he makes his Indiana debut. Cole Guest hopefully is able to be out there and show his recovery from his injury. He's apparently performed incredibly well in camp and practice and is ready for this opportunity. And then Ronnie Walker, who right now, if Ronnie Walker's your fourth best running back, which I'm not saying that he is, but just my unexpert opinion here, I would say that Ronnie Walker, if I were projecting out number of carries, I think Ronnie Walker's probably fourth for the Hoosiers this season. Of course, there's probably going to be some injuries, so that could shake up. But right now, and if he's number four, you've got a really good running back room, and I expect Indiana's veteran offensive line to be asked to show what they've got early in this game and make Ball State aware that, you know, we're the big boys here. We're not going to allow you to think about an upset. So I would expect to see that. And if I'm kind of just throwing out a number, projecting, I would think that if Indiana is not able to reach like 200 rushing yards with a pretty healthy yards per carry average, then I'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I think they're going to base that passing game off that play action as well.
Sure.
With Indiana's depth at running back, I could see this as a game where, you know, a couple running backs cross that 18, 19 carry mark. You got to keep people fresh for the rest of the season. And gone are the days that, you know, you just hand the ball off 30 times or 35 times to one guy. So, you know, Stevie Scott, Samson James is a true freshman. He needs game experience. You'd like to see Ronnie Walker get the ball as well. While he does have game experience, he needs more of it. And then Cole Guest is probably, if you're going to divvy up carries, he's probably the guy who's going to get the fewest, but he'll probably get the ball in a lot of different ways. It could be at receiver, it could be at running back and things like that. But, you know, it's one of these days where you could have two or three guys at or near 20 carries a game, or 20 carries for the game, and maybe you have two or three guys crack that century mark as well. And then, you know, Kalen DeBoer loves his play action passing game. And once you establish that running game, you could take the top off of that defense and really put the hammer down. And I think that's what Tom Allen needs to do too. His word this week, TJ, is proved. And that's a lot of, you know, I think Indiana fans will love this word because that's what they've used too. It's prove it. You've got to prove it on the field. And so this is the week you have to prove it. So is this offense better or not? IU put up 38 points on Ball State last year. They basically did nothing in the second half. Is this – I need Tom Allen to show his killer mentality on offense here. And while you don't want to, you know, throw 80-yard bombs if you're up by 40 points in the fourth quarter – but sitting on the ball in the second half is just not going to play well with this fan base, and I don't think it's going to play well with this team. You got to run your offense. It's a new offense. You've got to run your offense throughout the 95% of the game, and I would expect that IU to put up 40 or 50 points if they could do that, which I think it's important. When you look at numbers and rankings, which everybody does, especially outside of the program, putting up 40 or 50 points on these non-conference teams really up that points per game average in your national ranking in terms of offense. So I think it's important for them not to just sit on the ball. And while I don't advocate for, you don't want to drop 100 on people, but you can't also sit on the ball for 30 minutes in the second half. So hopefully it comes down to that and this game is well passed over by then. But, yeah, look for that running game. Look for that play-action pass. It seems like this team is relatively healthy. The only injury mentioned at today's press conference is Reese Taylor, who's been day-to-day. He's been practicing. Yep. So we'll see if he plays as well. And he's a guy who played last year as a true freshman at defensive back, and there's a lot of depth there. But, you know, they need him on punt return and kick return and all, and you want to get the ball in his hands. So what are some other keys for the game? What are your keys for a win, TJ?
Well, I'm going to switch over to IU's defense. And I know that we've consistently talked about how good we think the secondary is, how deep we think the secondary is. We like the linebacking core. Now, we've heard real positives about the defensive line being better than what we had expected, which would be great. I'd love to see that on Saturday. I'd love to see a consistent pass rush from this Hoosier team. It'd be great to go out there and rack up 6 or 7 sacks, but I think more important than that is providing consistent pressure to Plitt and making sure that he doesn't get comfortable back there in the pocket, because any decent quarterback, if they get comfortable in that pocket and they're able to stand back there and look around and survey the field, they're probably going to be able to have some level of success no matter how good the secondary might be. So it's really important for me for IU to establish a consistent pass rush and pressure. And then against the running game for Ball State, you know, it's a kind of a retooled interior here. Jerome Johnson and Juan Harris, really excited to see Juan Harris out there again. It sounds as if he has really dedicated himself to being a very good football player. And if that can be the case and he can stay that way throughout this season, it's a huge boon for Indiana's defensive line, because he is a force and his size makes it very difficult for opposing offensive lines to do anything with him. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Jerome Johnson. And then I want to see some of those pass rushers that we've heard have had a good camp, guys like Tremar Reese, obviously James Head, even some of the newcomers like a Bo Robbins. And then I know that Gavin Everett, kind of an old standby that is in his senior year. IU's got a number of options at pass rush. It's just some guys are going to have to step up and be consistent pass rushers for the Hoosiers, and I want to see them start that on Saturday. If they can do that and get into the backfield consistently against Ball State, I think the Cardinals have a really hard time moving the ball consistently.
Yeah, that's a great point of seeing how this defensive line could grow. I think the word out of Bloomington, it's better than we expected, and that's
right.
Good news, because the defensive line was it was my biggest question going into this year, is can they get a push? Can they eat up those offensive line blockers to free up those linebackers to make plays? You know, the secondary, we all know about the secondary and things like that. So for me, one of the keys to the game is play a clean game. Play, you know, it's don't play down to your opponents. That's a thing that IU has done historically in the past. They played down to their opponents. They played up to their opponents, which is a sign of a mediocre team. This is a team IU should dominate. You should, you know, get your takeaway goal, which is 3 takeaways per game. You should be flawless on special teams. And your offense should, well, it's the first game, so it's not going to be clicking on all cylinders, but your offense should be humming pretty well against this defense. You could live with some of those mistakes, but play a clean game. No silly mistakes, no silly penalties. Don't get, you know, a targeting penalty that's going to come back and haunt you in the past. Don't let up, you know, bombs over your head, things like that. And then finally, build depth. That's another key to this game. You've got to build depth, and that goes for the defensive line as well, and building depth on the offensive side. So, excuse me. So those are my two keys. Play your game, play it to the best of your ability, and then, you know, get as many guys in as possible. Any other keys to the game, TJ?
Well, I think that another thing I'll be looking for is just I expect pretty large rotation of players. I think we're going to see a lot of guys, this new, not new, I guess, but second-year rule of, you know, players being allowed to play 4 games and still be a red shirt. I think that's going to happen with a lot of Indiana's freshmen, and I think that this is going to be one of those games where the IU coaches target as trying to get those freshmen into the action as one of their 4 games before they redshirt. And then, hey, you know, for the freshmen, that's the case. Look, nothing's set in stone. You go out there and ball out and consistently prove yourself and start to do it in practice as well. And what the coaches thought was going to be, we'll play a 3 or 4 games to be a redshirt. You know, if you can show that you're going to make a difference on the field, you're not going to redshirt anymore. So it's going to be an opportunity for some guys to get on the field, show what they can do, and our first glance at them, and it's a talented class on paper, and I think youth is going to be served, if you will. So I'm excited to see those guys for the first time. Not really a key to the game, but I would say the key then would be, you know, start early, establish yourself, and you know, you talked about it some, but it's in games like this, it's so important to match Ball State's intensity level and then exceed it and let them know really quickly, look, you've beaten us before. It's not going to happen again. Don't get that in your heads. This is our afternoon, and then we're going to control this from the get-go.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And going back on that redshirt rule, TJ,
right.
I think they're two type of freshmen. They're a freshman who you want to see if they could handle playing at that D1 level right away, and
yes,
maybe they'll play the rest of the year. And then there are those freshmen who maybe need 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks of practice and waits to get developed. And you see it like James Miller last year. You saw him play 3 games late in the year and
right,
still preserve that redshirt. So I think there's a little bit of a feeling out. Can you handle this? Versus, okay, we know what you need to do. You need to get bigger and stronger and learn what you need to learn, and then we could throw you out there. So it's really going to be interesting to see how many freshmen they play. They also have they have young, experienced depth, and those sophomores and redshirt freshmen still need experience too, and this is how
yeah,
you build depth. If they end up redshirting a lot of freshmen this year, I'm fine with that.
That's the hope. That is the hope.
Yeah.
That you can do that.
Let's go.
It means you're healthy.
Yeah, it means you're healthy. It means that your guys have developed enough to where you can rely on them. the young guys, and you know, it's a good situation, and you could, you know, shuttle guys in and out and keep people fresh, which is huge. So let's move on to, is it preview time? Let's actually match up to watch. Finally, let's get to our matchup to watch. What's your matchup to watch, TJ?
Yeah, you know, I think that the easy one on paper is certainly going to be IU's running backs and offensive line against the Ball State defensive line. You know, that one for me, I am interested in watching that. I'm interested in seeing IU's running backs perform. I think it's such a great group. But I think the one that is really going to go a long way toward deciding this game is Michael Penix against an experienced secondary. Ball State's secondary is not bad at all. They did pretty well, especially against taking away big plays in 2018. Did not allow a ton of big plays. Now, part of that is going to be because teams didn't really need to because they could run the ball all over the Cardinals. However, they you know, got to give them credit. That is something they were good at. Indiana's looking for more big plays, and Michael Penix is the guy to provide that at quarterback. So I'm interested to see Michael Penix and the IU receivers against Ball State's secondary. Can IU find a way to start manufacturing more big plays, more explosiveness in their offense? That's what Kellen DeBoer was brought in to do. This is our first chance to see that in action.
Yeah, and you want to see him perform well. My matchup to watch is the IU defensive line against the Ball State offensive line. We mentioned it before. If this defensive line needs some confidence, this is a game where they could build some confidence, and it's going to make that defense really click. I'd like to see them get, you know, I don't know what number to put on it, but if you could get multiple sacks, you know, three or four sacks, and, you know, between 8 and 10 tackles for loss, that's a great day for the defensive line. And maybe they don't finish as well, but you're pressuring the quarterback, making them throw into that secondary early, giving the secondary a chance to go up and get the ball, rip the ball out, things like that. And it really, first down defense is huge, and that starts with the defensive line as well. You know, it's a running down, and last year Indiana was killed on that as well. And it really, I think, sunk the whole defense, was giving up 5 or 6 yards on third down. It's something that I'm going to be looking for all season long, is first down defense. Now Ball State comes out and gets, whatever, 5 yards on first down the first time they touch the ball, I don't think it's a big deal. But if you could constantly get Ball State into those second and third and longs, this defense is going to have a pretty good day, and it'll give them confidence going forward to perform well. And Tom Allen and Kane Womack, they want to be a top 25 team in terms of defense. They want to be a top 25 team overall as well. But in order to do that, for their defense, you have to be good on first down. And that's something, if you listen to the radio broadcast, I'm going to be feeding Don Fisher those stats on first down yards. And that's something that I'm going to watch all season long, and it starts on Saturday. So let's get into predictions, TJ. What's your prediction?
I'm going to go Indiana gets the win. I'm going to give the Hoosiers 45 points. Indiana 45, Ball State 20. I think it's a little bit uncomfortable in the first quarter. As IU, you know, kind of feels himself out. New offensive coordinator, new offensive system. Still a lot of young players. You're playing in a kind of a foreign environment in an NFL stadium, which I don't think will be anywhere close to filled. And then you've got a quarterback making his first collegiate start. So I think it'll be a little bit hairy getting started, but once Indiana gets comfortable, I think that the superior talent and athleticism and speed is going to win out, and the Hoosiers will establish themselves by halftime and pull away in the third quarter for a comfortable win.
Yeah, I'm going to go 45-10 IU. I think this is just a different mentality about this team right now. and prove, is that word you want to prove that this year is different, go put a team out of their misery early. The run game should have a big day. The pass game should, well, it's not, I don't think they're going to throw for 500 yards just because of the quantity of the times that they're going to throw. But I think that they'll have an efficient, and for the amount of times that they throw, they'll have a big day. And defensively, I think you'll see this team maybe give up a few big plays, but get their feet under them, get to the quarterback, take the ball away, and really hopefully bury Ball State. And then on special teams, you want to see something on special teams, whether it's no matter how many times Ball State kicks off, I want to see a kick return. I want to see a punt return and things like that. I want to see Logan Justice or Charles Campbell, hopefully both of them, kick field goals. And I want to see Nate Snyder kick off a whole bunch of times. That way they're getting their reps and things like that. But I think overall it's IU's day, 45-10. You start this season off with a bang. Everybody's happy. Go down Mass Ave or downtown Indianapolis and go celebrate and watch those late games. Final thoughts, TJ.
I think the keys for Indiana from the get-go here, establish your not your culture, but establish the type of season you're going to have right away. You know, go out there, and you mentioned it, just whatever cliche you want to say, play the way that you envision yourself playing right from the get-go, and establish the dominant side early on. Leave no doubt and stay healthy. I think if Indiana can do those things on Saturday, we'll feel really good about this team. 1-0, I mean, look at the long season, 12 games, but getting that first win and doing so in dominant fashion would, I think, be a big step forward for this team in terms of confidence level. And then, you know, hopefully build on that for next week against Eastern Illinois. Do the same there, and you can establish yourself as feeling really good going into week 3 against Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, my final thoughts echo those. It's, you got to do the things. This game is more about Indiana than it is about Ball
yes.
State, and it's how Indiana
yes.
looks on the field and what they do than it is how Ball State plays against Indiana or what successes or non-successes that they have. My final thoughts are, enjoy the opening week of college football. It's going to fly by really quickly. Focus on what Indiana is doing, and hopefully any mistakes that they make, they can correct going forward. And the start to a bowl game, it starts on Saturday. Well, it started way back in the spring. But officially game wise, it starts on Saturday. And you got to, you know, 1-0 has been the mentality every day. Saturday, you have to be 1-0 at the end of the day. And as Tom Allen said, the word of the week, it's prove. It's time for the Indiana Hoosiers to prove who they are. And if they're a good enough team to blow the doors off of Ball State, that's, you know, control what you can control. You can't beat Ohio State in week 1. But you have to play well against Ball State and give yourself a good foundation. So that all starts on Saturday. The game is at noon at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's on CBS Sports Network. You could also catch it on your IU radio network. TJ, we're finally here. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Everybody enjoy week 1, and we will be back on Monday to discuss hopefully a big IU win and preview Eastern Illinois. And, of course, we'll have game analysis and game reaction with Hoosier Huddle all weekend.
Yep, we'll have all our stuff. Our game previews are coming out daily about this game, so please visit HoosierHuddle.com. Head to Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. You can follow us on Instagram as well, as we'll have pictures from the game at Hoosier_Huddle on on Instagram as well. Enjoy it. It's 2019 season is here. We'll be back Monday evening to discuss the game, preview the next game. As TJ said, enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.